Parshas Chukas. The Torah writes in this week's parasha, Zois HaTorah Odom Ki Yomus Bo'ohel. Literally translated, these are the laws of somebody who passes away within a structure. And we know there are halachas of Tumas Ohel. A dead body is to be found in an Ohel. Anybody who enters there automatically becomes Tomei. But I think it's very famous, the drasha in the Gemara in Brachas. Zois HaTorah Odom Ki Yomus Bo'ohel. Says the Gemara, Ein Divrei Torah Miskaimin. The words of Torah can never be sustained or established. Elo B'mi Shememis Atzmoi Oleho. Sounds like a person literally has to be Moisa Nefesh, has to give up his life for the Torah. And we learn that from the Pasuk. The Zois HaTorah Odom Ki Yomus Bo'ohel. The only way that indeed there could be Torah is if Odom Ki Yomus Bo'ohel. Is a person prepared to literally, it sounds like, kill himself for the sake of the Torah? If there is, then Zois HaTorah. And if not, then there won't be Torah. So the Gemara is teaching us a tremendously important yesod. The only way that Torah can be miskayim is if there's mesiras nefesh, meimis atzmoi oleho. Now obviously, when the Gemara says that one has to be meimis atzmoi, this cannot be translated literally. One doesn't have to kill oneself for the sake of learning Torah. And the Rambam quite clearly spells this out. The Rambam, when he codifies this halach in Hilchos Talmud Torah, says the Torah will never be miskayim with those people who learn Torah mitoich idun umitoich achila v'shtia. The person learns Torah through idun. Idun is delights, delicacies. If he thinks that that's compatible with the life of Torah, then he's very much mistaken. Rather, elo b'mi shememis atzmoi alehen. What does that mean to be memis? Does that mean one has to kill oneself, chas v'shalom, for the sake of the Torah? Obviously not. Rather, metza'er gufoi. He's willing to endure pain, v'lo yiten sheino le'enov, and he doesn't sleep excessively. That's what it means to be memis atzmoi. To be memis atzmoi for the Torah does not, chas v'shalom, and obviously mean that one has to kill oneself, but one rather, one cannot live a life of indulgences. If one thinks that you can live a life of achila, and shtia, and sheino, and that becomes my prime focus, and that's going to be compatible with limud Torah, that's what the Gemara is teaching us, that no, those two cannot go together. One cannot hope that Torah can be miskayim, unless there's meimis atzmoi, one has to put effort, one has to work hard. This is obviously what we know as omol ha-Torah, yegias ha-Torah. One has to work hard. Learning Torah is not easy. It, by definition, requires tsar and toil and investment of effort. And one has to make a decision. Is the focus of my life going to be investing my efforts in indulging and having a very pleasurable time, or Torah? But the two cannot go together. So we would like to ask a very fundamental question on this whole concept. If Chazal are teaching us, and we're learning it from a pasuk, that one cannot possibly hope that Torah will be miskayim unless one is willing to be moisa nefesh, to be omol v'yogeya b'Torah. So let's now go back and look at the history of the Torah. As we well know, the Torah essentially was given twice, as it were. Luchos horishonos, v'luchos shnios. What is the difference between the first and the second luchos? It would be a terrible mistake to think that the luchos shnios was just a repeat. The first luchos, done all over again. That's a terrible error, and if you look at the psukim, you see quite clearly that's not the case. If you look in the psukim, what happened? At Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the first luchos. And how does the Torah describe the first luchos? v'haluchos maisa elokim heimo. Who fashioned, who wrote the first luchos? It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Michtav elokim. It was all, as it were, the writing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not so the second luchos. What does it say after Klal Yisrael sinned, the Chet HaEgel? The luchos were broken, and all of a sudden now a second set had to be written. Who wrote the second set of luchos? So the Torah quite clearly says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, psal lecha. You have to now fashion the second luchos. There is clearly an inherent and fundamental difference between the first and the second luchos. The first luchos, there was no effort on the part of mankind. It was michtav elokim. The second luchos required human effort. And the Gemara in fact tells us, were the first luchos not to be broken, Limud Torah would be a very easy project. Nobody would ever forget any of one's learning. The only reason why there exists the concept of shikhas haTorah, that we forget Torah, we have to toil and review and learn it again, is only because we are living in the world of luchos shniyos, but not luchos rishonis. Says the Beis HaLevi, beluchos hashniyim, this the Beis HaLevi writes in the drashas, nischadish. What was the new concept? What was the chiddush of the luchos shniyos? Tzar v'yegia. The concept of difficulty and toil, omol haTorah, that only existed in the second luchos. Shikhas haTorah, de'ilu loy nishtabru haluchos. But were the first luchos still to be with us, had they not been broken, we would not have to have tzar. We would not have to have omol or yegia. One could live a life of indulgences, put your feet up on the couch, learn Torah, everything would be easy, we would remember everything. But that's not the world we live in. We live in the world of post-luchos rishonos, rather luchos shniyos. As mentioned, the first luchos were michtav elokim, no effort on the part of man. The second luchos were psol lecha. And this, I think, needs some very serious explanation. If we began with the drasha of Chazal that Torah can only be miskayim if you're meimis atzmo yoleh, you've got to work hard for Torah, not be involved in indulgences, you've got to put in all your efforts through toiling through Torah. Why indeed is that only true for the second luchos and not for the first luchos? That's the question we would like to answer. If it's so critical, the concept of omol haTorah, mishamemis atzmo yoleho, well, as mentioned, that is a concept that was nischadesh only in the second luchos, psol lecha. You have to now make that investment of energy and effort, but not the first luchos. First luchos was michtav elokim. Kodesh Baruch Hu's effort, as it were, you learn it, it's easy, you'll remember it. There was no omol, there was no yegia, there was no meimis atzmoi oleho. And this needs to be explained. Why indeed was there no concept of omol haTorah first time round with regard to the luchos rishonos, but there was, however, second time round with regard to the luchos hashniyos? So in order to explain this, I'd like to share with you a phenomenal explanation of a related concept that I saw in the Sefer Mizmor LeDovid, which we have quoted in the past, from the Chevron Rosh Hashiva Reb David Cohen Shlita. And we will see that in light of his very beautiful Shtikl Torah, I think our question has a very simple and yet fundamental teretz. The question that Reb David Cohen Shlita is coming to answer is a very important and a very obvious question. We just mentioned that there's a drasha, Torah is only miskayim if you're meimis atzmo yoleh. Why in the world is that drasha to be found where? in Parshas Chukas, in the middle of the Parsha of Pora Adumo and Tumas Ames. Of all the parashas in the Torah to teach us the significance and the centrality of Omol HaTorah, why on earth does it find itself in the midst of the discussion about Pora Adumo and Tumas Ames? That is what Pora Adumo is all about. Somebody has become Tomei Tumas Ames, so he needs the Eifer of the Pora Adumo. And therefore this is the question. Why is the drosha of Memis Atzmoy Aleho only to be found in the parasha of Pora Adumo? A very important question. Now, you may be unaware, but actually this Friday, this coming Friday, the day after tomorrow, some people have a minig to fast. The Mogen Avraham says that there was a minhag of some individuals on Friday of Parashas Chukas to fast. Why? Because there was a terrible tragedy in this very week, Parashas Chukas, almost 800 years ago in the year 1244. In the year 1244, which is 5004 on our calendar, on Erev Shabbos in France, on Parashas Chukas, 20 wagon loads of Torah were burned. Rachmona Litzlan. If you stop and think about that, it's mind-boggling. There was no printing press there. Everything was handwritten. This was the Tkufa of the Rishonim. We cannot begin to imagine how much Torah could be stored in 20 wagon loads. And all of that went up in smoke. It was considered such a severe tragedy that one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, the Maram Mirotenberg, actually wrote an entire kino about this, and we say this on Tisha B'Av morning. Kino Mem Aleph is a kino entitled Sha'ali Serufo Bo'esh. The Beis HaMikdosh went up in fire, here the Torah went up in fire. Now, this is rather strange. Normally when either a Yom Tov or a day of Tsar is commemorated, it's always done so in accordance with a calendar date. And yet, over here, it is Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas. Why is that the day that we commemorated? Why don't we calculate what was the date? And whichever week it falls out in, we'll always commemorate it on that date. So the Mogen Avraham said that there was a dream, and it was appeared, there was a gilui and a chaloim, that this tragedy of Sreifas HaTorah is very much in Yonah D'Yoma. It's connected to Parashas Chukas. So it has to be commemorated on Parashas Chukas. The opening words of our parasha, Zois Chukas HaTorah, the Targum says, Do Gezeiras Oiraisa. This is the decree of the Torah, which in the dream it was interpreted to mean the punishment. This evil decree against the Torah is apparently connected to Parashas Chukas. And that's why those who fast do not fast on a particular calendar date. It has to be Parashas Chukas. And this obviously needs explanation. What is the connection between the burning of the Torah, Rachmona Litzlan, and the Parasha of Sreifas HaPorah and the Parasha of Porah Aduma? Now, this question was actually addressed by the Ramchal, who is well known to us, obviously, by all his phenomenal Svarim, the Mesilas Yesharim, and the Das Tfunas, the Derech Hashem, and others. And he explained as follows. There is an absolute direct connection between the Inyan of Pora Adumo and the tragedy of Sreifas HaTorah. Absolutely connected. And he said, in the time that the Beis HaMikdosh was Kayom, we had the ash of the Pora. Once the Beis HaMikdosh was destroyed, we no longer have the Pora Adumo. So instead of burning the Pora Adumo, Rachmona Litzlan, the Torah itself had to be burned. This obviously needs explanation. But he's telling us that this is in place of burning the Pora Adumo, which could happen in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Now that we do not have a Beis HaMikdash, in place of that is the burning of the Torah. And he says in conclusion, these are frightening words. Chazal teach us that a person has to be meimis atzmoi, like we said before, be moisa nefesh for the Torah. Tragically, the people in the generation of that terrible decree, loy heimisu atzmom, they did not invest toil and energy, but rather v'holchu acharei hanois ha'olam, they indulged, they lived a life of pleasure and physical indulgences. They were not mekayim the mantra of Chazal to be meimis atzmoy aleho. As a result, they had to endure this terrible punishment and gezeira of sreifas haTorah, which for some reason is in place of sreifas haPora. And this needs explanation. Why are those two sides of the coin? Sreifas haPora at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, sreifas haTorah Rachmona Litzlan at the time of Golos. So in order to understand all of this very difficult parasha, remember we're trying to answer several questions over here. Why is the drosha of meimis atzmoi, the union of toil in Torah and distancing from indulgences, why is that written in the parasha of Parah Adumah? Why did this gezeira happen this week? What's the connection between sreifas haPorah and sreifas haTorah? So in order to answer all of these questions, we go back to the very basics, the Rashi that's so famous to us, that even though indeed Parah Adumah is a choik, but Rav Moshe HaDarshan taught us that it comes about as a kapora for the eagle. The eagle is the young calf, just like when a child makes a mess, it's the mother who has to come and clean up. The Parah is the mother, as it were, of the eagle. It's her responsibility to clean up the mess. Now, clearly, that's not just a nice remez. There must be very profound meaning in that. After all, it's true. The Parah is the mother, the Egel is the child. But what has Parah Adumah got to do with the chait of the Egel? What is the connection? And here, Rabbeisai, we get to the Yesoid. Hold on tight. The Kliyoka explains that it was the Maisa of the Egel which brought about the whole concept in the world of Tumas Hamis. If not for the Egel, if Klal Yisrael would only have retained the level that they achieved at Matan Torah, then there would not have been the whole concept of Misa. Misa was introduced into the world, and we'll explain this in a moment, post Chet HaEgel, which means therefore, and it's very simple therefore, of course the Parah, the mother, has to come and clean up the mess of the child, because it was the child, the Egel, that precipitated the whole concept of Misa in the first place. The only reason why we have Tumas HaMeis is precisely because of the Egel. So the mother, the Parah, has to come and fix that up. What does that mean? So Rabbeisai, here we go back all the way to the very first day of the Bria. As we know, Adam HaRishon was essentially destined to live forever. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you may eat from the Eitz HaChaim, but not from the Eitz HaDas. And if you eat from the Eitz HaDas, ki b'yoyim acholcha, from the day that you eat mimenu mois tomus. Adam HaRishon had no interest, had no desire in eating from the Eitz HaDas, but the Nochosh came, and as Chazal explained to us, the Nochosh infused a zuamo. Zuamo is some type of tumor into Chavo, and by extension to Nochosh, to Adam, and that brought about the Avera of eating the Eitz HaDas, not the Eitz HaChaim. From then on, we live in a post-Chet Adam HaRishon world. The world changed. But it only changed with all the Klolos and Bezeis HaPechot, Teich HaLechem, etc., etc., until Matan Torah. The Gemara in Shabbos quite clearly tells us that at Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael reached such an elevated level, Posku Zuamoson. This Zuamo, this Tumah, which we'll explain in a moment what that means, Posku, disappeared. Which means that Klal Yisrael now reverted back to a pre-Odom HaRishon Chet world. Klal Yisrael reverted to what the world looked like in Gan Eden before the Chet of Odom HaRishon, which means therefore there was no Gezerah of Misa. At the time of Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael once again, like Odom HaRishon originally, was not destined to die. What happened, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, b'chet ha'egel, achar ha'chet, nis'arvu koichos ha'tumah. Once again, that zuama, that first, was inserted into mankind at the time of the chet of Odom HaRishon, disappeared at the time of Matan Torah, was re-infused at the time of the chet ha'egel. Which means, therefore, that Gezerah of Misa once again is reawakened, and therefore that's what the Kliyoko means. The reason why now people pass away, why is there a concept of Misa in the world? The answer is because of the Chet HaEgel. If not for the Chet HaEgel, we would be Matan Torah status. What was Matan Torah status? Odom HaRishon Koidem HaChet, before the Gezerah of Misa. So it makes very obvious sense now. The whole concept of Misa, and by extension, Tumas Meis, is a direct manifestation of the Chet HaEgel. It's only right, therefore, that the mother, the Poroh, has to clean up the mess of the child. If not for Chet HaEgel, there would be no Zuamo, because from Matan Torah onwards, Posku, that disappeared, there wouldn't have been Misa in the world, but the Egel, the Chet HaEgel, that reintroduced Zuamo into mankind. Therefore, the Gezerah of Misa was once again reawakened. So why now, in the post-Chet HaEgel world, why do we have Misa? Because of that Chet HaEgel. And that's what the Kliyoko means. That's why the Poroh Adumah, this is Pshat in Ramosha Adarshan, the mother has to come and clean up that mess of the Chet HaEgel. Now, Rabbeisai, we're going to go a little bit deeper. What exactly in Gan Eden were these two trees all about? There was the Eitz HaChaim and the Eitz HaDas. Now, obviously, we're dealing with Dvorim Amukim B'Yosa, which are somehow somewhat esoteric and very profound. So we have to rely on what we've been taught by Rabbi Yisenu. The Ramchal in Das Tvunois teaches us the follows. The Eitz HaChaim, if you only would have eaten the fruit of Eitz HaChaim, that fruit would have been Machnis Belev. What would that have infused in the heart? Dveikus V'Avas Hashem. If you would have eaten from the fruit of the Eitz HaChaim, Odom HaRishon would have become Dovuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Eitz HaDas, however, had a different type of fruit. That is Machnis Belev, Taivois HaGufonios, physical lust, V'HaChumrios V'Kol HaChatoim. The world changed forever. When Odom HaRishon ate from the Eitz HaDas, this is the Zuamo that's being taught to us by Chazal, infused into mankind, was now a taiva hagufanit, a physical, a mundane, a gashmi taiva, rather than to be dovuk by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which would have been the result of eating the fruit of the Eitz HaChaim. Instead, Odom HaRishon ate from the Eitz HaDas, and that infused him with this Zuamo, which means Taivois Gufonios, and now, all of a sudden, the world is a changed place. So what was Odom HaRishon's challenge? What was Odom HaRishon's choice? Odom HaRishon's choice was, are you going to eat from the Eitz Hada'as or from the Eitz Hachaim? What's so critical for us to understand is that this is not a history lesson. This is current events. Says the Rambam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nosan Lonu Torah Zu Eitz Chaim. And if you only attach yourself to the Eitz Chaim, then you are attaching yourself to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Gemara says, Eitz Chaim is the Torah, Eitz Chaim hi lemachazikim bo. In other words, Adam HaRishon's original test, are you going to be allured by the Eitz Hadas or the Eitz HaChaim? That's our test in life. We too have our Eitz HaChaim. What's the Eitz HaChaim? Torah. And in fact, Adam HaRishon also had Torah. Adam HaRishon, when the Torah says, what exactly was his job in Gan Eden? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him to do? La'ovda u'la'shomra. To work and to protect. Work what? Says the Pirkei De'Eliezer, what does it mean, la'ovda u'la'shomra? It does not mean to work the land. All his food was provided and gifted to him. Elo la'asoik b'divrei Torah. The Lishmoir es haMitzvos. Shenema, says the Pirkei De'Eliezer, Lishmoir es derech Eitz HaChaim ve'ein Eitz Chaim elo Torah shenema Eitz Chaim hi lemachazikim bo. Rabbosai, these are dvorim ha'oimdim berumoy shel olam. Adam HaRishon's initial challenge, and this is our day-to-day challenge, la'ovda. What does it mean, la'ovda? Not to toil the land. To be dovuk to the Eitz HaChaim, which is Torah HaKadosh. If you're dovuk to Eitz HaChaim, then by extension you are dovuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If, however, you veer off and you go for a life of Eitz Hada'as, that's a life of indulgences, taivos, gashmius, and therefore distancing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now let's come back to this terrible Gezeirah in France. The Ramchal taught us that there is a connection between that Gezeirah and Parashas Chukas, because burning of the Porah happened during the Zman of the Beis HaMikdash, burning of the Torah, Rachmana Litzlan, during the Golos. Now we understand and the entire picture is complete. V'hadvarim nifloim. When a person toils in Torah, what in fact is he doing? When a person is meimis atzmo, we said in the Lashon of the Rambam in the beginning, it doesn't mean to kill yourself. It means to live a life devoid of indulgences. That is a life of Eitz Chaim. That is a life of tikkun of the chet of Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon tragically did not opt for a life of Eitz Chaim. He went for the Eitz Hadas. Our mechanism through which we can be mesaken the chet of the Eitz Hadas is by clinging tight onto the Eitz HaChaim. How so? Not just by learning Torah, as we said before, by distancing oneself from Gashmias and Taivois. Ein HaTorah Miskayim Elo B'Mishem Meimis Atzmoy Aleho. If the Eitz Hadas infused a person with that Zuamo, the Taivois HaGashmias, then the Tikkun of that Avera has to be do the exact opposite. Distance yourself from those taivos and instead be dovuk to the Eitz Chaim. What is the Eitz Chaim? Ein Eitz Chaim Elo Torah. If a person lives a life of idun, as the Rambam calls it, he wants to indulge, then what is that life? That is a life of Eitz Hadas. So he's reenacting, as it were, the Avera of Adam HaRishon. So if he's dovuk to the Eitz Hadas, then unfortunately, once again, he's subject to the Gezeirah of Misa. Omol HaTorah does what? Omol HaTorah attaches a person to the Eitz HaChaim, which is the opposite of Misa. instead of living a life of Eitz Hadas, which is the opposite of Chaim, and that's why there was a gezeira of Misa on the world, the tikkun is to do the opposite. Be dovok to the Eitz HaChaim, Torah Kedosha, distance yourself from Gashmias, and then indeed there will not be Misa in the world. To the contrary, there will be Chaim. That's what the Ramchal means. At the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there was the Eifa HaPora. That's the way that you dealt with Misa. When a person becomes Tomei Meis, that's dealt with Sreifas HaPora. But we don't have Sreifas HaPora. Does that mean that we have no way of fighting Misa? That's what the Ramchal is teaching us. We do through Omol HaTorah. If a person is Meimis Atzmaya Aleho, then he's also dealing with Misa because he's becoming Dovuk to the Eitz HaChaim. That way, he is bimasaking the Pagam of the Eitz HaDas. The Eitz HaDas is the Sheirish of all Misa in the world. It's that attachment to Gashmias. A person who's Omol Batoira, Ein HaTorah Miskayim El Bamisha Meimis Atzmoy, well then indeed he's distancing himself from Gashmias. He's been dovuk to the Eitz HaChaim, and he has banished Misa from the world. Now I think, Rabbeisa, everything is so beautifully clear. That's why the drosha of Meimis Atzmo Aleho, which parish is it found in? It's found in the parish of Pora Aduma, because they indeed are two halves of one coin. One can either banish Misa and the effects of Misa by burning the Pora Aduma, which was all brought about, the concept of Misa, through the Chet of Eitz Hadas. Alternatively, one could be Meimis Atzmoy Al HaTorah. That too is Masakein the Sheirish of Tumas HaMeis, because he's becoming Dovuk to Eitz HaChaim. And that's what the Ramchal means. In that generation in France, they were not Meimis Atzmoy. And if they were not Meimis Atzmoy, to the contrary, they were Holchu Achar HaNoas HaOilom. So what would in fact they were doing in France? They were living a life of Eitz Hadas, HaNoas of Olam Hazeh, not Eitz HaChaim. So how's their tikkun going to come about? They cannot have a tikkun through Eifer HaPora, Rachmana Litzlan, they were Bezman She'ein Beis HaMikdosh Kayom. So the tikkun has to come, Rachmana Litzlan, if you're not Dovuk to Torah, you're not Meimis Atzmoy on Torah, then the Torah is indeed taken away and it's burnt. This is the phenomenal Shtikl Torah, like I said, in the Sefer Mizmor LeDavid, which answers all of our questions, and we'll come back to our very first question. Why is the drush of Meimis Atzmoy on Torah written in the parasha of Pora Aduma? Because they exactly are two halves of one coin. Once Klal Yisrael sinned with the Chet HaEgel, we are back to the Avera of Eitz Hadas. There's once again Misa in the world, and our job therefore is be Meimis Atzmoy Aleho, be dovuk to the Eitz HaChaim. What is the Eitz HaChaim? Ein Eitz Chaim Elo Torah, Eitz Chaim Yila Machazikim Bo. And that was the problem, tragically, in that generation in France. And that's why the Gezerah is not commemorated by its calendar date, but rather it has to take place in Parashas Chukas, because Parashas Chukas teaches us the Avoida, the Tikkun of Chet Adam Arishon, is either Sreifas HaPorah, which we don't have, or Omol HaTorah. Omol HaTorah, as the Rambam taught us, means not living a life of Idun. But that generation in France did exactly that. They were not masaking the hate of Odom Arishon by being Omol Batorah. So the Torah was indeed burned. If that's the case, Moirav Raboisai, I think now in conclusion, I think everybody understands that our very first question is obviously answered. What did we ask in the beginning? If the concept of Omol Batoira is so important, Ein HaTorah Miskayim Ela B'Misha Meimis Atzmoy, so why was it only by the second Luchois and not by the first Luchois? The first Luchais was a gift. Michta Belekim, no effort on our part. But the second Luchais was Psalucha. As the Beis Halevi said, that's when it was Neschadesh Omar HaTorah. Why? Well, the answer now is so obvious. Because at the time of Matan Torah, there was no Zuama. They had gone back to Odom Arishon Kodem HaChet. They were living a life of Eitz Chaim, so therefore you don't need Omo HaTorah. You don't need, as it, to make all effort to be Misrachik from Taivos, HaGashmios, VeGufnios, because they were in the pre-Chet Odom Arishon world. When were the Luchos Shniyos given? After the Chet HaEgel. Moshe Rabbeinu breaks the Luchos. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we're in a brand new world. We're in the post-Chet Odom Arishon world. Now it's Psol Lecha. Now you have to make your effort. Do you know why? Because the Chet of Eitor Egel, Chet of the Chet HaEgel has reattached you to the Eitz Hadas. And if you're now again in the Eitz Hadas world, where you have this Natir to Taivos HaGufanios, now and only now is there introduced the concept of Omol HaTorah. Advarim Nifloim B'Yosem. I think Advarim Muchrochim. It's only after we got the second Luchos, which was exactly at the time of the Chet of the Egel, which, as the Nefesh HaChaim taught us, reverted us back to that Zuama, we're no longer on the Matan Torah level. The Matan Torah level was prior to the Chet of Odom Arishon. There was no Zuama. That was a life of Eitz HaChaim. So we didn't need to be Omol BaTorah. Torah was easy. But now that we're in the post Chet Odom Arishon world, we're in the Chet HaEgel world, well, we don't have Pora Aduma. So Ein HaTorah Miskayemes Elo B'mi Shememis Atzmo Yolecha. Which clearly therefore teaches us, Rabbi Yisrael, that our Omol BaTorah is not just a nice mailer, but rather it's the tachlis of the whole Bria. This way we are reverting, we are being masakin the whole Chet of Odom Arishon. His attachment to the Eitz Hadas, which was re-enacted as it were at the time of Chet HaEgel, our job is to fix that up. Eitz Chaim hi l'machazikim bo. Ein HaTorah miskayemes elo b'misha meimis atzmoy. By being meimis atzmoy, by being moisa nefesh, by focusing on Omol HaTorah despite its difficulty and the tsar and the yegiah, which is necessary, but thereby distancing ourselves from Gashmias and Taivos, that is our Dveikus to the Eitz HaChaim, by extension to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what brings about a Tikkun from the Chet of Odom Arishon. I wish everybody a very good Shabbos.
Good call.